letters from my Ethiopian friends who've gone back. One of the problems with this past famine in 1984 is that we didn't get on it quick enough. It took the TV cameras to tell us, but it was going on for, and all the indications that it was going to happen were there for the last year or two prior to the actual TV coverage. It would have been a lot cheaper had we intervened early and given the local farmers and people purchasing power just with a bit of money to buy wheat which would have come from other parts of the country. But instead, they ate all their seeds and they sold all of their means of production, their oxen and their tools, and left with nothing, and away they went at a tremendous cost, obviously, to themselves in terms of human terms, and a lot of money from Western aid agencies which could have been spent on development. Right now, as well, the locusts are heading again for Ethiopia, the insects. Huge amounts. And I don't know if many people know about this, but they've just got back. They had a good rain in some parts of Ethiopia anyway. They don't have much to eat, but they had a good rain and they're expecting their crops. But there's locusts heading right now that are threatening to destroy everything. And we're going to have it all over again, maybe this year or next year. Unless we go in and try to help them with this locust problem. But how do you go in a country that's at civil war? If you recognize that the central government in Ethiopia is a legitimate government, how can you go into their rebel province and help them? These are problems, but I think we're going to see it right back again. The other thing I'd like to say is that essentially what we need are human solutions, not technical solutions to our problems. The arms race. You're not going to solve the arms race with the technical fix of Star Wars. I can assure you that. That's going to make things worse. We need a hands-on approach. I remember being very moved when I was a third-year medical student by a visiting psychiatrist who told us when he was going around on rounds, in intensive care unit rounds, with all the internal medicine specialists and the surgeons. And they would go from patient to patient, and they'd all be hooked up to tubes and monitors, and most of them unconscious or too ill. And they would just talk about numbers and talk about disease processes and not address these very ill people or unconscious people, and off they would go. And he stopped them one moment and he said, "Just a moment." And there was a young chap there who had a brain injury from a motorcycle accident, was unconscious. And he stopped and he just put his arms around this chap and hugged him for about 3 minutes, just hugged him. And these doctors all looked and they didn't know what was going on. He just hugged him. And he pulled back, and then a tear rolled down this chap, this unconscious, supposedly unconscious chap. And we can get so caught up when we think we have all the technical answers, we forget the human aspect of things. And the same applies on a larger scale to these world problems, too. We have all beautiful vaccines and refrigerators and technical means to immunize all the children. We just don't have the political will at this point. Just a few more things. Lastly, the concept, which is a very revolutionary concept, of primary health care in developing countries, which is very dear to my heart and to Ethel's heart, I know, too, who's been working in Africa. It gets away from this concept of high-tech urban hospital medicine in developing countries and moves it out to the rural areas, essentially where there's 80% of the people live and who are essentially disenfranchised. Although urban poverty is becoming an increasing problem too, as you know. It addresses problems such in a low-tech, low-cost, appropriate level where you replace doctors with village health workers using very simple techniques. Maternal child health, which encourages breastfeeding and oral rehydration. I'll just a quick word about oral rehydration. It's a salt and sugar solution, which you can get in packets or make up locally with whatever salt or sugar you have in an appropriate amount of water. And it's as revolutionary to the developing countries as penicillin was to us in the 1940s. As I said, 5 million children die every year from diarrhea, which could be prevented, at least treated with this oral rehydration solutions. Immunizations, against measles, whooping cough, polio, tetanus. It's too bad we can. There's a new immunization coming out against malaria and others against some diarrhea. But you can keep immunizing and immunizing, but you can't immunize against poverty, can you? You have to, at some point, you have to stop and look what's causing all these diseases. The primary health care concepts of clean water, essential drugs. A lot of drug companies in the north dump a lot of expensive, inappropriate drugs in these developing countries, and people spend more on drugs often than they do on food for their families. Health education and family planning and nutrition. The thing is, I'd like to say about primary health care, it is very dear to my heart, and it's the way to go right now in these poor countries, because what it is, it's an optimal use of scarce resources to make the biggest impact on health and illness. But nevertheless, as one of my Brazilian friends said to me when I was studying in London, and I didn't agree with him at first, but I thought about it, he said, primary health care is the medicine for poor people. And we can feel very smug and good about giving them this great system, advising this great system, but the fact is we have to advise that system because they don't have it, they have scarce resources. So we also have to, primary health care is a start, but the scarce resources has to be addressed too in the long term as well. And lastly,